has it.
Time for the word. Amen, amen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Church on the North Coast. Joy is your compass, and Jesus is your destination. Thank you, Joe. Look at that. Joe, thank you. I know you don't want any attention, but he came a couple weeks ago, and he just had these shirts made for us. Aren't they just dope? This is awesome. So thank you so much, man. That's awesome. Okay. I have a little something special for you guys right now. You know, we've read our vision statement several times, and Tamika posted one day Jayliana reciting the vision statement, and I just wanted to bring Jayliana up here because she's so amazing, and I want her to read our vision statement as opposed to us reading it, because that's the generation that this is about. That's the generation that this is about right now. So come on up, Jayliana. You want to hold the mic or you want me to hold it? Okay, there you go.
I am the child of the... Wait. Mm-hmm. I am the courageous champion of my generation. I walk in purpose and the identity of God. I can do anything. I am confident and chosen. I know God's word is true. I am led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm the child of God, and I make him proud.
Come on. Thank you, Jayliana. You are a child of God. And you know what? God is smiling down on you right now, girl. All of heaven is up there celebrating. Oh, my goodness. That was amazing. That was amazing. That was amazing. All right. Well, let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives, God. We invite you in today, Holy Spirit. Come on in. Come on in. Come on into every area of our lives, Father. We just praise you. We just offer you access into everything, every area of our lives, God. I pray, Father, that you will come in and just transform hearts, transform minds right now, Lord. We don't want to walk out of here the same. We thank you, like Pastor Dion said, for healing. For healing in this house right now. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we know there's freedom right now. And so we thank you for healing. We thank you for freedom. Right now, freedom from sin. Father, we thank you. I just plead the blood of Jesus over this entire congregation right now, Lord. Come in and have your way with us. We don't want to walk out of here the same way we walked in, Lord. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Well, on one particular Palm Sunday, a boy had a sore throat, and so he couldn't go to church, but his family went. And when they got back, all of them had these palm branches, you know. And the kid was like, "What's that all about?" And so the dad explained that the people held them up as Jesus went by. And that made the kid really sad. He got really sad. And the kid said, "Man, wouldn't you know it? The one day I don't go to church and Jesus shows up." Throughout all of Jesus' ministry, he wants this almost divine secrecy, right? Like he wants things to be secret. He wants to keep things on the DL. Right, for instance, there's a few instances in Mark chapter 1. A leper comes to Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Right? And Jesus says, "I'm willing." He says, "Be cleansed." Jesus heals this guy, but then what does he do? He says, "See that you say nothing to anyone. Shh. Don't tell anybody about this." In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus heals two blind men. Scripture says that they were following behind Jesus, and they were just crying out, "Son of David, Have mercy on us. Now, Jesus could have turned around right there in that moment and healed those guys. But scripture tells us that he kept it pushing, and he walked in the house. And it says these guys walked in the house behind him, right? And then Jesus turns around and he says, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" They're like, "Yeah. Yeah, we believe." After Jesus heals them, it says that he sternly warns them to see that no one knows about it. Nobody knows about this. Mark chapter 5, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead, and he says that he commanded them strictly that no one should know about it. So Jesus starts his ministry in this almost hiddenness, right, behind closed doors. And almost through his whole ministry, he would heal somebody, and then Jesus would tell him, "Shh. Don't tell nobody about that. It's not my time yet. It's not my time." But on Palm Sunday, everything shifts. It all shifts, right? His aversion from public ministry is no more. Like, there couldn't have been a more public place or a more spectacular way to make an entrance than the week of Passover in Jerusalem. On Passover, like, the city swelled with people. It says that it was 5 times their normal population, right? Every Jewish man within 20 miles was required to go to 3 major festivals. This was one of them. Passover was one of them. It says that there was up to, I think, between 1 million and possibly 2 million people who all gathered in Jerusalem in this moment. All these people packed in Jerusalem, and Jesus voluntarily steps onto center stage to fulfill prophecy in front of streams of people, right? In front of streams of people who were all caught up in this royal hype of Passover. Jesus is no longer in retirement villages or fishing towns in Galilee. He's gone viral. He's gone viral. He's public now. And this entrance starts the beginning of the end, right? The entrance is going to be noticed by all of these authorities, and it's also going to be taken offense by the same authorities because it challenges them. And so between the crowd and the holiday and the festivities, you've got this combustible mix happening in Jerusalem. And on the triumphal entry, Jesus lights the match. The title of my message today is Palm Sunday, Song of the Stones. Song of the Stones. Our text is found in Luke 19, 28 through 44. And it says this, when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called Olivet that he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'Lord, the Lord has need of it.' Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Mark 11 tells us that others cut down leafy branches and spread those on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." All the other scriptures say that they shouted, "Hosanna." Hosanna. All the other gospels say he shouted, "Hosanna." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And so back then, when a king came into town, it was pretty common for the townspeople to run out and to meet that king and to greet him and to welcome him in. And this is what's happening right here, right? And so the people began throwing their garments and leafy branches down to make this almost red carpet entrance, this royal entrance for Jesus. What they were doing is they were demonstrating their loyalty to his royalty, right? And they were shouting, "Hosanna," which just means save us, save now. And the way Jesus comes in shows not only his royalty, but it shows his humility. Right? If you ever want to display Jesus, humble yourself. Humble yourself to the masses. That's how you show Jesus. So he doesn't just show his royalty, he shows humility. And he does it by coming in on this donkey. He doesn't come riding in on this mighty white war horse. We'll see that in the second coming. We'll see that in the second coming. It tells us in Revelation 19:11. Instead, Jesus is fulfilling a prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. And what it says is, it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This prophecy was spoken hundreds of years ago, right? But on this day, on Palm Sunday, Jesus enters the city and just starts fulfilling prophetic words. Right? Things just start to make sense. Jesus distinctly rides in as God's long-awaited Messiah. And so people are all over the place. They're going crazy. They're shouting, "Hosanna." And in this crowd, we see three of the usual suspects, right? We see three of the usual responses to Jesus. We see the faithful followers that have always been there. They've been rolling with Jesus this whole time. We see them. We see the ignorant enthusiast, right? And these are just the people who are just caught up in the hype, caught up in the excitement of it all, right? And then we see the hostile religious leaders, and we'll talk about them in a second. They're all in the crowd. You ever notice that people get carried away in a crowd? Like, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. When we were in high school, my buddy Chris Vidovich, Vito was shorter than me, so he was short. I'm kind of Zacchaeus short. He was short. And this kid, Kevin, came to our school, man. Kevin didn't even go to our school. He went to a totally different school. And he stole Chris's new leather bag. Broke his heart, you know? And Chris found out that Kevin was coming back to our school a couple days later. Chris was like, "Man, I'm going to get my leather bag back from him." We were like, "Chris, you ain't gonna do nothing." Man, 3 o'clock approached, and somebody said, "Chris, Kevin is over there by the lobby. Chris was like, okay. And he started walking. And so I started walking too. I was like, he ain't gonna do nothing. We turned the corner, everybody else saw us walking. They started walking too. They was like, where y'all going? They didn't even know what was going on. So by the time we knew it, we turned the next corner. We looked behind us. It was a mob of people following us to go see what was going to happen. Man, little Chris went over there and worked that boy over right in front of the whole school. They broke it up, man. They rushed him off to the office. And before we knew it, here came Pastor Troy around the corner. What's going on? Half of us was done following the crowd, but we seen Pastor Troy coming. We was like, let's go. And somehow, Troy, when you his dude, you just his dude. He got your back. Somehow, Troy ended up in the office in the middle of all of it, right? I mean, we don't even know how he got in there, but but a crowd attracts a crowd. If you ever been to Costco on a Saturday, you know where they're giving free stuff away. You know which aisle they're giving free stuff away. There's a small crowd at the end of the aisles, right? People get all caught up in everybody else's excitement. That's exactly what was happening here. And Jesus hears what they're saying right now, but he also knows what's going to come from those same lips just days later. Right? Those palms wouldn't have even had an opportunity to turn brown before their hosannas turned to free Barabbas, crucify him. Very fickle crowd. Very fickle crowd. But just like them, sometimes we get caught up in the excitement of momentary enthusiasm, right? When we're talking about Jesus. And listen, Jesus ain't looking for ignorant enthusiasts. He's looking for faithful followers. Amen? He's not a king of pretense. He knows that his throne, the throne he's been hailed to, is a cross. Like, he knows the crown of his inauguration isn't one of gold and jewels, but of thorns and burdens. Thorns and burdens that man brought into this world. So he knows that he's getting ready to wear our crown. Jesus' his warfare wasn't against Rome. Like, it was against powers and principalities, right? Against hatred, against jealousy, against injustice, against lust, against carnality, against death itself. He knows what he's against. But the people have no idea. They have no idea. It was for their own momentary selfish gain. But Jesus is saying, man, I got something not just momentary. I don't have momentary peace for you. I got eternal peace for you. It says that they were blind. They were blinded. And so Jesus just wept. He wept over the city. He could see what was going to happen in just 40 short years, right? And he was just overcome by their fate. The people don't see it, and so they just shout out, Hosanna. They knew that Jesus was the one. They knew he was the one that was going to save. They just didn't know how he was the one. There's something in that for us, because we know that Jesus is going to be the one who's going to bring us through our situations. We just don't know how he's going to bring us through our situations. So in the midst of all this, the religious leaders, they throw a flag on the play. Right? They throw a flag on the play for excessive celebration. And they tell Jesus, hey man, you better quiet your disciples down. And he says in verse 40, but he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep quiet, keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Jesus said, if they don't start talking, All of creation will. All of creation would. The stones would cry out. And it made me start to think about these stones. Right? Because though we say you're as dumb as a rock, stones have been around for a long time. They've seen a lot of stuff. Right? And I think we'd be surprised if we could hear the song that the stones had to sing. What we would learn from their song. Because there's a stone in Exodus 17 out in the desert somewhere between Egypt and Israel. And this stone, if we could listen to this stone, it would tell us, hey, I can tell you about God. I can tell you about God. This is a God who brings life-giving water to a sun-scorched desert. Right? This is a God who can meet your deepest thirst wherever you are. This is a God who can provide for you when you have no other hope. Oh, I know about this God. I've heard about this God. I know about this God. This is the God I know about. There's a stone in Joshua chapter 4 that's stacked on 11 other stones from the bottom of the Jordan River when God demonstrated his power and allowed them to cross on dry ground. They were told to pick up the stones and set them up as a memorial for their children so they wouldn't forget what God had done. What would that stone tell us? That stone would tell us, oh yeah, I know about God. I've seen God. I've seen God make a way where there was no way. I've seen God be faithful to keep his promise in spite of impossible odds. I know about this God. This is a God who leads his people into abundance. Oh man, I can tell you about this God. There's a bunch of stones. There's a bunch of stones in Joshua 6 that were blown out of a wall in Jericho. Right? If we picked up just one of those stones, that stone would tell us, I know this God. I know about this God. He's a God that can overcome any opposition you ever faced. Right? He's a God who gives victory to those without probable chance otherwise. I know about this God. That stone would tell us, man, listen, he's a God whose power can break down any walls coming against you. Not only that, he can break down the walls within you. I know about this God. There's a stone in Daniel chapter 6, 16 through 17. Listen to this. It says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Oh, that stone would tell you, man, I know about this God. I know about this God. He's not just a God, the light of life. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lions. He is the God who can shut the mouth of the lions. He is the God who can quiet any accusation coming up against you, any enemy that you're facing. I've seen this God. There's stones in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that David picked up in the riverbed. Particularly, there's one stone that can tell you an incredible story. David and this stone took out a giant. Right? That stone would tell you that I know about this God. I've heard about this God. I know about him. Listen, this is the God who can take down the biggest obstacle you've ever faced. This stone will tell you, I can tell you about God. This God who no matter how strong your enemy is, I know a God who's stronger. I know one who's stronger. No matter how long you've been paralyzed or you've been stuck or intimidated in any situation, they were stuck for 40 days being taunted by that giant. This is a stone that would say, it don't matter how long you've been stuck, God will give you courage to move forward and do what he calls you to do. I know about this God. There's a stone in John chapter 8 where Jesus is teaching and he's going to be tested because they're going to bring this woman to him and throw him down at his feet because she's been caught in the act of adultery, right? And they say the law says that we should stone her. What do you say? He says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Oh, these stones will sing some songs. They would sing a song. They would let us know that this is the God who doesn't condemn. Right? They would tell us that God isn't that easily provoked or careless, or he's not this lightning hurling God. Right? He's a life-saving, life-giving, rescuing God who comes to deliver us from sin. That's what they would tell you. He ain't trying to crush you under your sin. Those stones would tell us, you know, we love John 3:16, but those stones would tell us, read on. Read to John 3:17, where it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We need to hear the song of these stones. It reminds me of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:19. He says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's the good news. That's the good news, that you are forgiven, that God's not counting your sins against you. We got to step into freedom that he's already won for you. Step into the forgiveness that he's already offered you. This isn't about depending on the things that you're doing, right? He's already done it all. Just receive it. There's a rock named Simon Peter. He betrayed and abandoned Jesus in Jesus' time of need. He denied him. He failed him. Right? Time and time again, he did this. But if we would just talk to that rock, what that rock would tell us is no matter how many times you fail Jesus, Jesus ain't never going to fail you. Jesus ain't never going to fail you. No matter how ashamed you are of you, Jesus ain't never ashamed of you. There's one last stone. There's one last stone, and it weighs about 2 tons. And then this stone's purpose, it was put in place to keep life buried. But oh, that stone would tell you, I know this God. I know about this God. You can't stop this God. Not even death can stop the goodness of this God, because he is the resurrection and he is the life. I know about this God. We need to hear the song of the stones. Like, they got something to teach us. These stones have been around for a while. They've seen some things. And the question I have for you today is, what have you seen? What have you seen? These stones, they can't sing, they can sing. These stones can sing. What's your song? What is your song? I mean, you might be thinking to yourself, you know, I don't know that much about the Bible. I haven't been around that long. I'm not a theologian. Listen, none of that matters, right? We ain't talking about that. Church isn't about a bunch of stuff that you need to do to become a great Northeastern Christian. That's not what we're talking about here. What is the revelation that you've gotten in your life? What has God done in your story? Can you recognize it? Right? Can you put your finger on it? Can you name it? Like until you move to that revelation, like it's if you're just reasoning your way through, you know, 100 different things that I got to do, like you can't stand on that. That's nothing you can stand on. The difference between reason and revelation is everything. It's everything. Matthew 16, Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" Who do people say that I am? It says that some say or some reason that you're John the Baptist or that you're Elijah or Jeremiah. Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Simon says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells him, you're blessed, man. You're blessed. Why? Because flesh and blood didn't give you that thing, right? It wasn't reasoned to you. My Father in heaven gave this to you. It was revealed to you. That's a big deal, y'all, because listen, if I can reason you into something, somebody smarter than me can reason you right out of it. We've all been there. We've all seen it. Right? I know I should have went to life group last week. You know, I should have went there. Oh man, don't worry about that. You went to church. You good. Right? You straight. You went to church. I knew I should have went to that conference. But he told me it wasn't even gonna be that good. And so you miss out on your encounter. You miss out on your encounter. Listen, reason is the reason Eve fell so easily in Genesis 3. Because Satan said, did God really say that? Come on, is that what he really meant? He starts reasoning with her, and as soon as you start reasoning with the devil, you are in trouble. As soon as you start reasoning with Satan, man, uh-oh. You better watch out. She didn't hang on to the revelation of what God said. And if you lose sight of the revelation, your reasoning is going to be shaky. It's going to be shaky. Your reasoning ain't a firm foundation. The revelation that God gives you, that's what's a firm foundation. Most times, I cannot trust my reasoning or what I feel. But what I can't deny is what God did in my story. That's what I can't deny. My reasoning might be cloudy, but my revelation is anchor. It's firm. So in my head, I might be saying, I don't know if I believe this or do I really believe that? But when I look back at my story, I can't deny that God did this and that God did that. Or he said this to me or he said that to me. I can't deny that. We got to get past reasoning, church. And we're all great at it. We got to get past reasoning. Reasoning is not enough. Like, we don't need 1,000 different things to be a good Christian. You pretty much just need one. And his name is Jesus. You need one. You need to hear clearly from the Holy Spirit. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit so that you can hear clearly from the Lord. So what's God saying to you? What is he saying to you? How has he shown himself to you? Your reasoning, I'm telling you right now, will fail you. The revelation God gives you will never fail. Revelation is absolute. It's clear cut. God did it. The miracle came. The check came in the mail. The body was healed. The baby came. The marriage was saved. I was delivered from addiction. It's rock solid. Our reasoning might be all over the place. Revelation, bullseye. Unquestionable, undeniable. So what are you standing on, church? What are you standing on today? I mean, it makes sense, right? You can't give away what you don't have. Right? So you may be thinking to yourself, like, man, I really want to give $1,000 to the church. Right? But I just don't have $1,000. So you can't do it. It's not, you can't do it. You can't give away what you don't have. But think about this. This is what we should know. You won't give away what you don't know you have. You can't give away what you don't have. You won't give away what you don't know you have. You see, so if I got $1,000 in an account that I put away a while ago and just forgot about it, right, I feel the Lord pulling on my heart, like, to give to the church, give $1,000. Well, I'm just, I don't have it. Oh, but I do. I just don't know that I have it. And there's so many of us in this room right now that have more than you think you have. You just don't know you got it. You don't know you got it. You've been walking with the Lord for years. He's shown you all kinds of revelation. He's shown himself faithful to you. You got a testimony. You have a testimony. Just go back and tell your story, right? There's power in your story. But you'll never give it away if you don't know that you have it. A lot of us, we're asking, like, these future questions, and we need to just look back and ask, what has God done in my life up to now, up to this point? The key to your future might be sitting in your past. God has been faithful throughout your story, and when you can just take inventory of that, then you can stand on that firm foundation. And even when things get shifty, like in your present, I can look back in my past, right? And I can remember what God did. I can't deny that thing. I can't deny that. And so today, we need to consider, what has God done in my story? What have I seen? But then we need to move from consideration to confession. We need to move from reflection to celebration and proclamation. You need to start speaking it out. And you know, as far as worship goes, like, I think it's easy to look at other people's worship and think, oh my goodness, they must be really, they got to be so faithful, you know what I mean? They must be really in love with God. Like, they have to be walking with God so well. And you think to yourself, man, if I ever walk with God really well, you know, I'll worship like that. But that's not why I sit up here and lift my hands. That's not why I hit my knees up here. Because I got it all together, or I'm so surrendered. I'm lifting my hands because I desperately want to surrender to him. That's why I'm lifting my hands and hitting my knees. You don't just kneel when you're humble. You need to kneel so you can become humble. So many of us, we're waiting. We're just waiting for God to do something. And God is saying, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Stop waiting for a pastor to say, I'm opening up the altar. Cut it out. You have to humble. We have to humble ourselves. Do you want to be healed? We look at that question he asked that man, and that's a silly question, Jesus. But do you want to be healed? This altar should be full every Sunday. Stop worrying about what people think about you. Receive your healing. Call it out. We need to just invite God. Invite him where you are. Right? You might not be where you want to be, but think about it. You ain't where you were. You ain't where you were. We got to be able to remember what God has done, so no matter how crazy stuff gets right now in your head, you can always go back and stand on what God revealed to you. We don't just need to sit around and wait to love God or wait to bless God, right? We don't need to sit around and say, oh, I'll worship him when I get it. No. Worship because you want it. I worship because I want it. More than anything in this world. And what if you don't feel it? That's okay. I mean, that's fine. Engage those feelings, but don't be ruled by those feelings. Don't let those feelings dominate you. Sometimes I have to express my worship, not because I'm feeling it, precisely because I'm not. But I need to be. Amen? Come on, stand with me as we close. And so maybe today you're not feeling it. Maybe you're not feeling it today. There's a poet named Anne Lamott, that said it best. Just two words. Hallelujah, anyway. Hallelujah, anyway. You might be looking at a budget right now that's got your stomach in knots. Hallelujah, anyway. There's a God who provides. You might be looking at a diagnosis that seems hopeless. Hallelujah, anyway. There's a God who heals. You might be looking at a marriage thinking there is no way this is going to work out. Hallelujah, anyway. There's a God who restores. You might be facing a giant thinking there's no way this thing is going to fly. Man, I can talk to a stone and tell you there's a stone that can tell us otherwise. Hallelujah, anyway. You might be thinking, man, I've blown it over and over and over again. Hallelujah, anyway. He's not counting your sins against you. No matter where you are, listen, you got a song to sing. You got a song, and you need to know it so that you can sing it. He's done stuff in your life that he hasn't done in my life. I need what he's done in your life. Other people around you need what he's done in your life. You need to know what he's done so that you can just give it away. You can give it to somebody else. His kingdom is life-giving and life-changing. Amen? So I encourage you today, move from consideration to declaration. From reflection to expression. What has God done? Can you name three things? Can you name two? Can you name one? Just one thing. Like, I know God has done this. This one thing. That God's opened my eyes and that he showed me that. Whatever that thing is, hang on to that. And we can move from there. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us even now to just draw back to our memory of your faithfulness, God, in our past. Show us, Father, that you are the God that speaks to the raging oceans and calms them. You come against giants, Father, and they fall. Show us what we've seen, Lord. Remind us of what we've experienced. Show us how you've been faithful in our past when we become fearful for our futures, Lord. Hallelujah. We depend on you right now, Lord. We don't want to reason our way through this thing. We need your revelation, God. Reveal your heart to us, God. Reveal your character to us, Lord. Open our eyes, Father. Show us our story, God. Show us your goodness. Show us your glory, Father. We want to see you rightly. We want to worship you rightly, Father. And so we thank you today, Jesus. We thank you for revelation today. We thank you for wisdom today. We bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If you need prayer, we're going to have some people up here. We would love to pray with you. If you've never given your life to the Lord, we want to see you. We want to talk to you. We want to pray with you. We want to walk with you. We want to walk with you. I want to thank all of you guys for being here. Remember, we have Good Friday service this Friday in Lorain and in Cleveland. Remember to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. I love you guys.